You started working for Dave. You could have gone.
Yeah. When you were working for Davis Brothers.
You came down when you were 17, didn't
you? I'd be about 17 when I started with
them.
And I used to. No, I was about 16 because I didn't have my licence, that's right. And I got a job down there and I used to jockey on with them. There used to be a driver, you know, I used to jockey because after a while I got learned how to drive in my age. At that time, you were 17. You get a job at 17 when you're driving. Because of the war, yeah. And I got a job driving. And I used to pick up around, I used to come through to Dandenong, mm-hmm. out Frankston Road, along Frankston Road, I used to pick up along there, and out around Bangham, I don't know whether you know mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And we used to go into, we'd pick up our load, and then we'd go into Mentone, they'd a changeover, they had four trucks, used to meet at, Mentone, and we'd all pull in like side by side, and they had a big stand there. We used to roll the cans from one truck to another, like mm-hmm. we knew where the cans had to go to, mm-hmm. and then they'd take off into Melbourne and deliver it. Yeah.
So what year would this be when you started?
You would have been 17. Going back 13, 16 you would have been, that would be 19.
You work it out.
Before the war? Or
no, this was after the war. No, it was before the war, while the war was on.
Yeah.
And then I, because it was very hard to get.
They had to have
men, you know.
Yeah, they had
I come up from Birchip. Davis has used to have a...
Central services.
Davis has had a bakery down at Birchip. Mm-hmm. And he came up to me one day and he said, "Do you like to go down and get a job at a milk truck?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, down in Melbourne." I said, "I don't know, Melbourne." He says, "Well, I think you'd like it, and you're not a bad worker, Jürgen." And he says, "I can get your job down there." And I said, "How much are you working?" He says, £5.10 a week, I think it was. £5 something a week. And I thought, oh, good, that'll do me. You know, it's a lot of money to me. Anyway, I came down, I stopped there for a while, and then I...
They had rooms there.
They had at their home place, Archie Davis's mother and father, they used to board us there, and we had a big room out the side. They built it specially for the workers, and we used to sleep there and have our meals at Davis's.
What time did you start work in the morning?
We used to start about 7 o'clock,
right.
And we'd go through till about 12. We'd do one round in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then we'd start again about 5 o'clock. We'd get back, I suppose some runs got back 9, some got back, you know, 8:30, all different times.
Yeah.
And
so the milk wasn't going on the trains at this time?
No, the milk wasn't going on the trains. It was all by Davis's. And what was I going to say?
What sort of trucks did you have?
They had Rio trucks, beautiful trucks.
Diesel? Were they?
No, they're petrol. But while the war was on, we had gas producers.
Oh.
And they were on the back of the truck, and we used to, when we got home overnight, we'd get these bags of coke. Mm. You'd put a bag of coke in the back of it, and you'd be black from Aces Bay, you know. It was unreal. And anyway, you'd shut it down, and next morning, the Archie Davis, he was the boss, he'd get up, he'd stoke them all up, you know, ready to fire, and he'd get the gas going. And we'd get up in the morning, and we'd go and have our breakfast, and away we'd go. But when you got along the road, you'd find out, oh, she's not pulling too good. Anyway, you'd get out and you'd undo the hatch and lift the lid and go boom. She used to go boom because you'd be blowing a gun, you know. And anyway, you had a long bar, you'd get in there and you'd stir it all up and you get the clinker out. You had to get the clinker out of it because that used to, the clinker used to stop the gas from flowing. And then you'd shut it down and away you go again. You know, same every day. Anyway, after a while, when the war finished, they put it back on the petrol, it's much better. But there's a lot of work in the gas producers because they used to buy the charcoal. I don't know where they used to get it, but they used to get up the bush somewhere, bring it back. We used to have to sieve it all to get all the dust out of it before we put it into the trucks. And oh, you're just like a black fella, you were when you finished. It's unreal.
So how long were you working with Davis Brothers?
You came down when you were 16. Well, and you were
must
there
be 7 years
when you were married. And then you were there for quite a few years after.
Yeah, must be 7 years.
7 or 8 years.
Yeah, so 7 or 8 years, roughly 7 or 8 years.
By that time we got married and I was living here and he was down there all the time.
And we didn't like that, so...
Max didn't like it. He used to ride his bike from Heatherton to come home, which was a long way.
So anyway, I finished up going over to Gulf's Milk Transport then, but I could take the truck home then. It was all right, you know. I get to live at home and still do the job. But I enjoyed it, really. It was a good job.
Cancer is life. Last one was 25 years he worked for the other life.
I went on to Cliff Gops and I stopped there, I suppose about 5 years, roughly.
Robert was born while you were there, I don't know how
long. Robert, yeah, that's right. About 5 years. And then
he sold out, didn't he?
Yeah, he sold out to Cooper, and Cooper was doing all the stupid things by putting Mercedes-Benz motors in Morris commercial trucks. That didn't agree, but she just took off one day and carved a piece in the wife's leg. She was with me.
I decided to get on a bus and go and meet him because, you know, rather than sit home.
Yeah.
And there was a friend there who was going with him, and when he saw me, he said, well, I won't go with you, Max. I wished he had it.
Yeah.
And of course, we were getting along the road and the gearbox fell out.
Just went.
And the handle, lucky I had Robert on my lap because the thing just thrashed and thrashed into my leg. And Max couldn't stop it, could you?
No, he couldn't. Everything just went blank. It was dark and the lights went out and everything just went boom. Should never have been put in. It was wrong.
I ended up in the Alfred Hospital.
Mm.
And this, the only compensation I could get out of that pain and agony was the fact that she told me if it had been my son had been sitting
standing
in the middle, his leg would have been completely cut off. Yeah. So, he got out of that job really quick because he didn't maintain his trucks well.
I don't think he knew what he was doing, really. It was all right. He took Bought Goffs out, didn't he?
Yeah,
that's right. Then I went across to Milk Transport, and there was Clark's, Jenner's, and Southern Milk. No, I went to Southern Milk and worked there for a while.
And which run were you doing then?
Around Koori Rup and all around there, right up the...
Right out in the Pakenham?
Yeah, further out in the Pakenham. What do they call it? More just Koori Rup and around those places. I worked there for a while. And then, I suppose about a couple of years, I worked for them on the Cairns, and then the tankers started coming in and they just switched me over onto the, the big tanks. And we used to go up to Shepparton, Cobram, Longwarry, Leechville, Leongatha, Poowong, Chitura, Merrigan, Koroit.
Near Kahuna.
Yeah, Kahuna. There's a lot more, factories, but And we used to bring it back to the dairies in Melbourne. But that was a much easier job when I was on the tank, because the milk had run in and it run out. You didn't have to roll it all.
It's true. 25 years.
Yeah, 25 years with MTC.
Retired in 1987. It was just too much for me to be here on my own because the family left home, and I was too nervous. But I'd given up working then.
I was 59 when I gave it up, wasn't it?
No, since you gave that up in 1980.
No, but when I was...
you were 59.
59 years old,
yeah.
He
would have been... You'd have been 50.
I gave it up 6 years sooner than I should have. Or what I... Yeah.
What do you recall about Hallam through the 50s and 60s? Particularly, you know, as it was changing and the subdivisions were starting to be
planned. I used to pick up milk. Foy's, they used to be in where General Motors were. Foy's, we used to pick up their milk. Foster's, we used to pick up theirs. They were Internationals used to be.
Uh-huh.
We used to pick up just over here the road, Fraser's. Yeah. There was one in here, but I can't remember his name. Then we used to pick up Reedy's on the other side of Hallam Road, on the left, going down.
Did you pick up Gatters?
Gatters. But then. What's his name?
Barker.
Ernie Barker bought Gatters out.
He was a great man with the horse.
Yeah, he's a horse.
He used to have a stable down there, which you've probably heard of, which was Kittlewick. And he used to teach all the young ones to ride their horses.
There was Truans up Mary Warren, just on the corner of Tinks's Road, I think that was. Yeah. And then we used to go through. Nary Warren, and then there was there was Hunters, just in Berwick. We used to go up Clyde Road, pick up there at
Furburrows,
Pools. And there was one right out, and I can't think of his name, further on. And we used to come back to Guess, Gardeners. And there was another one a bit further up, I can't think of their name. And we used to come back down the highway then. And I've done it reverse, really. I should have... Yeah, well, it's the same thing, I suppose. But then we used to pick up all the ones I mentioned first. We used to pick them up coming back. On the way back.
Connie and Francis.
Francisini's never had. They never had milk yet.
So you recall seeing Dufton go up?
Yeah, Dufton.
And you had ice
run. I had an ice run in between that, too.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was... that was before I left, Cooper's, I bought an ice run. I used to have two ice runs.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to do from Dandenong, or some of Dandenong, right through to Pakenham.
Mm-hmm.
I used to come through to Dandenong to Berwick one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back, and then I used to do from Berwick, Pakenham, all through Pakenham, and then come back.
Yeah.
So that was two runs. So one day I'd do it, next run I'd do it, and vice versa.
And between that you carted wood from places?
Yeah, I used to sell wood, firewood.
Yeah.
But
soft drinks?
Soft drinks, yeah.
Serviced
in wood. Yeah. What else?
I think you might have mentioned some people in Hunnam Road which were Masons in one of your issues.
Yeah.
And they were a very big family, very poor, weren't they?
Very poor,
they were just over the other side of Guns Road on your left, going down. And they used to
do. She'd come up one day and said, oh, can you bring us a couple of tonne of wood? And I said, oh. So I brought a couple of tonne of wood, but I never seen any money for it. But
this is really uncanny.
Years after, what must have been
10 or 12 years,
we went into Melbourne. We'd sold the holiday house down to Romana, and we went to the pub for a candle lunch. Just sitting there,
this lady
came up and said, "Hello, mate." I didn't know her for a minute, and then I woke up who she was, and she said, "I still owe you for a couple of ton of wood." You know, this is 10 years ago. I thought, "Oh, don't worry about it." That's what I said to her. And she said, No, I owe it to you. So she went out to a person, brought the money in, and gave it. What I mean, that's, I never
forgot that. I mean,
that was good. Well, then there was another person at Berwick, I used to serve with ice, and her bill got up a fair bit, you know. At any rate, she never ever paid. And after, she won Tats Lotto. And you know, she never ever paid me, and she built this beautiful house in Hallam. You wouldn't believe it, you know.
The trolley road just down on your right and left as you're going out.
When you were delivering ice, was that for the refrigerators?
No, yeah, that was ice. For ice chests.
That was
right.
There yeah, wasn't, that's what I mean. Yeah,
there was
the
no,
ice chest.
Yeah. There was no, it wasn't many refrigerators.
No,
there.
That's what I mean, before the refrigerators.
Yeah. That's what killed my business, really, was fridges.
Coming in.
But I used to have to talk the people in not to buy. You know, oh, we're going to get a fridge next week. Oh. I said, oh, you don't want to get a fridge, it dries out your meat, and all we used to bulldust a bit, you know, try and keep the customer. Yeah. But I can remember when Dufton was. When Dufton was getting built, you know, there was the commission homes.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a milky there, and if I ever seen a house getting built, you know, somebody moving in, I used to come back that way every time. And if he seen a customer that he was a milky then, and we used to tell each other so as we could beat the opposition, because there used to be Dandenong ice. We used to get my ice from South Gippsland Ice Supply, and then there was Dandenong Ice Supply. They were opposition, and we had to try and keep them out as much as possible. Well, I'd nearly all Dufton when I started. Well, gee, I was lucky, because when I used to serve, once I got serving around there, you know, I was lucky. Mm. He had one there, and that was the only one he had for a long, long while. Mm. But I built it up well around there. Mm. But it was only because the milky worked in and I worked in with him. Mm. It was good, really.
Yes, we had a big struggle there, didn't we?
Oh, yes, we worked hard. We used to be up in the morning. Well, we'd go in and load up our ice about 9 o'clock at night, and fill the box right up full. I used to put 2 tonne of ice in it, but that was all, it wasn't refrigerated, but it wouldn't melt in anything. Then I'd come home to Hallam, we used to have 3 1/4 acres behind the Hallam Hotel, and we'd pull in there and I'd go to sleep.
Tom might have his tea on the table, I'd have it on the hot pot. Before I could pick it off the stove, we'd be
Oh, we worked that hard, it was unreal. Well, I'd be up at 3 o'clock in the morning to start my ice run. I used to come back to Dufton, Kays Avenue, and start there.
And where did you leave the ice? You wouldn't be waking them up, would you?
No, they all left
their doors open.
So you just go in and put it in the ice box?
You, what you done, you, like it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning I'd start, and start delivering, and all the doors would be open. They never locked doors in.
You always
yell out ice. Ice, and then the people would know who it was, you know, they heard the noise.
Then he got a very bad hip. They thought he might have cancer on the hip. So Robert was a tiny little fella. Well, he was just toddling. So I used to go with him. He'd chip the ice and I'd run it in. Robert had trotted behind me. I remember going into one of the, because Max had told me exactly where the icebox was in the house, you know, so I knew. And this morning I went in and this lady came out and she, I was, you had to take what ice was in the box and chip it and then put the block in and then pack it around. And she said, oh my dear, she said, this is a really hard job for you. She said, you ought to be getting well paid for it. And I said, oh no, I just do it for love. But he got better.
But it was a hard job. It's the hardest job I've ever done, delivering ice. You wouldn't think so.
This is what's set up.
But I used to serve the Berwick Hotel with ice. They used to have coils. I used to go up there. Well, they got served every day because I'd go up and do Berwick. I'd go into the hotels and put the ice round. He'd put on the coils. That was to cool the ice. And then when I, on the beer coils, and I'd call in there early in the morning, about 7, I suppose, and then I'd do the rest of the round, and then I'd come back, and he'd put the ice on, you know, they'd be melted down, he'd put another lot of ice on, and then you'd put so many, or it might have been a hundredweight, a couple of hundredweight, it might have been a hundredweight, it all depends on how hot it was, he'd put that up in the ice chest up at the back.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kept them going over till 6 o'clock. So it used to be 6 o'clock closing then. Mm-hmm. Soon as 6 o'clock come, everybody was out of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But then next day, I'd call in there and early in the morning, and I'd put that in the box so as he could cool the coils down then. And when I done packing them, I used to come back and deliver him. So actually they got twice a day. They get delivered twice a day. But he was a good customer. We used to give it, you know, a bit cheaper than a household because he took so many hours. Took so much.
Early 1950s, it doesn't seem that long ago. We were all using ice chests, does it?
I don't even remember it.
Don't you remember them?
No, you couldn't get ice. You couldn't buy a fridge after the war. It was impossible. So they all had ice boxes.
Mm.
And we had a cool guardy safe where my mum used to have water in the top of
those
panel things.
Yes, we had more than us.
That's right.
So what did the ice cost?
When I first started, it was 1.6.
1.6 a block.
1.6 a block. You, 100 weight is, you get 4 blocks out of 100 weight. When they made it into a 4 blocks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was 100 weight.
Mm-hmm.
And there was 20, was it?
20.
No, 20 made a tonne.
2 shillings would it be then?
No, well,
wasn't in.
It went up to, well then it got 1 and 7, 1 and 8, 1 and 9, mm-hmm. then 2 bob, you know, it used to go up to 2 bob. Mm. And
what would you sell it for if you know, what block? To
that was a block of ice.
Mm-hmm.
That started off was 1.6 when I first took over.
That's what you'd sell it to the
that's what you'd sell it to the customers, but I'd get it for half that price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could nearly say you paid what you got, you paid half again for your ice. Like brownie used to get a bit, with so much a ton I would have brown for it. Work out about, you'd double your profit for what you paid him.
And how'd you carry it?
In bags. Or sometimes we used to have a chaff bag. We chuck over the top. If it was a half hundred weight or a hundred weight, you just chuck it on your shoulder and walk in. And you always had your ice pick in there. So you'd cut it, you know. But I used to do hotels, the one at Pakenham too. I used to serve them with ice too. But they didn't take it. They weren't as good a customer as Berwick.
We had an ice.
What's King Farouk's name?
King
Farouk. Oh, they used to call him King Farouk. I can't think of his name.
That owned the hotel in those days.
Have you been in the hotel? Berwick at all?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been in the casino?
No, only the dining room.
Well, the casino is where the old bar used to be.
Right.
It was an L-shape, and you went in the front or the side.
Mm-hmm.
It was just on the corner, the main entrance was. Yeah. But that's interesting, that pub, really.
Yes, it's got a lot of history, that hotel. Yeah. So is Helen, actually, when you think about it. It really has, because I think I mentioned here in one of these, there was Squizzy Taylor, who was Mrs. Beaton's brother.
Yeah.
And my mother used to say, you're not to go there. When he was there, we weren't allowed there. But whether that's truth or not, I don't know, but that's what we believe. I don't know whether you've heard that too. It is true, yeah. Yes, and my father's relatives used to have some connection with the Helen and Pub in the hotel years ago. The Heffernans, you know, they were some relation of my dad's. I don't remember them very much, but I remember they were something to do with the hotel as well, years ago.
Yeah. So what do you remember about the subdivision and when the shops started to go in and all that sort of...
There was only one shop over there built, and that was the only shop for years, wasn't it? Yeah.
The first one was on the highway, where the service station is now. That was the first milk bar, it was the first one on
the one
near the agents. That was, and Metaldorps. Was it Metal? What was his name? Metaldorps.
He used to work for Smith's, didn't he? One stage.
Yes.
And then he'd come down and took over the
milk
bar. There's only one sitting on sign, that's all there was.
Well, he was an asset because he had. You could go there on a Saturday night, and if you just didn't want to cook tea, and he made these beautiful big hamburgers, and he was the first one that you could go and get a sitting down meal, if you call it that. And he was there for years, his father and he ran it, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then I forget the people that came in, who were the new people after that.
Then they built the baby hell, kindergarten, they built that.
That wasn't here when we were here. We shifted over here in 1968. That kindergarten wasn't there.
Because you got the power from our place to do it, didn't you?
That's right. And the senior citizens didn't come in to there. Well, it's been 18 years.
Senior citizens was brought down from the Kays Avenue. They brought that down and put it on
because
there.
Because when we first saw it going up
the road. Oh, it looked dreadful. But oh, no.
We used to have a beautiful view right through to the shops. But
not that it worried us much, but it didn't look too good when they first brought it in.
We thought it was going to be a service station because when we looked at our plans, there was a square there and we weren't too sure what it was going to be. We could have possibly gone up to the offices and had a look, but we didn't know. And then they built this kindergarten, and we didn't mind that. And then, because when we saw this horrifying looking building going up here, we still didn't know what it was, and it turned out to be the Helen Senior Citizens.
It was all right once it's finished, but it didn't look too good before.